Mitt Romney from Tampa to Indianapolis and back. Jackie Walorski's GOP convention speech, healthcare and nuclear power in the governor's race, and the latest attempt to win over Lugar voters in the Senate race. That, plus Eric Holcomb in the roll call of states and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending August 31, 2012.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Mitt Romney made his fifth Indiana campaign stop, delivering a speech to the National Convention of the American Legion. Romney flew in from Tampa for a 16-minute address that included no mention of Indiana. He headed straight back to the GOP convention afterward. The speech focused on foreign policy and defense issues. Romney also made frequent attacks on President Obama in what amounted to a warm-up for his nomination speech. Here's the reason he gave for not staying in Tampa to polish that.
When our nation called, you answered. And I consider any opportunity to address our nation's veterans a privilege not to be missed. Where the president has failed to lead, we will protect our national defense from cuts that jeopardize critical missions. Where he's let down our veterans, we will welcome them home to a booming economy and the jobs they need. Where he's dodged the tough choices, we'll confront them head on and deliver a better future for Americans of this generation and the next.
Is Mitt Romney guilty of slighting Indiana voters? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican Toby McClamrock, John Schwanes, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV Statehouse reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, was Romney trying to avoid headlines on his visit here?
I think the whole purpose of the visit was to make certain that he didn't slight veterans, and then to get back to Tampa as fast as he could. I don't think he's slighting Hoosier voters necessarily. I think he's probably taking them for granted in much the same way John McCain did, and I hope the outcome is the same.
Yeah, well, he's actually held one rally in Indiana, a couple of private fundraisers. He had an opportunity here to just make a shout out to the folks in the city where he was, and he could have given that speech anywhere.
You know, there's really no reason for Mitt Romney to spend 5 minutes in Indiana, right? I mean, Obama's not very popular here.
Mitt Romney has a double-digit lead.
That's right. And Mitt Romney's going to win the state. And so, I mean, I think Indiana voters want him focused where he should be, which is in the swing states. And it's different than 4 years ago. So I don't begrudge the fact that he focuses elsewhere.
Nobody was slighted, is what you're saying.
I don't think so.
Okay. Interesting that he came here at all, probably, in the middle of a convention. Barack Obama on Tuesday sent a videotaped message to the American Legion convention. Did he show up, Barack Obama, by making that visit?
I think so. I mean, the reaction based on, I wasn't at the event, but based on what I read, there clearly you had a standing ovation for Mitt Romney, I think in recognition of the fact that he did make the trek from Tampa to pay his respects to these veterans and address them at their convention. I think they appreciated that, and then another standing ovation at the end versus what was described as warm applause, polite applause for
the video.
I know, it's
a video. He couldn't hear it.
But still, I mean, it's Toby, I think, is exactly right about this. It's not about slighting anybody. It would have been maybe seen potentially as slighting veterans groups, and this is a constituency that probably is a natural constituency for Mitt Romney anyway. And so this is a chance to sort of shore up those and invigorate that side of that constituency within the party. and sort but of tout the fact that he was there and the president wasn't.
Mitt Romney's not a veteran. Barack Obama's not a veteran. The veterans, the American Legion folks will tell you that, that they cover all demographics.
Right. Well, I don't think that a person's party affiliation has anything to do with their service to the country as a part of the military and the armed forces. You know, they do it because that's what they want to do or they've been called to do. So, you know, you can make assumptions, and I think that the demographics show that a lot of people who are members of the American Legion tend to move to the Republican Party. But I think it's also useful to point out that last year the president spoke to the convention in person in Minneapolis. So, you know, I don't know whether that had anything to do with the perception in the hall. But, you know, he to say he slighted or that Mitt Romney slighted anything, I think, is inaccurate.
It's silly. Okay. And they have, the Obama administration and the president personally has made veterans and care for veterans and support for veterans and jobs for veterans and homes for veterans one of the primary pillars of his administration. So I think they recognize that, and I think the applause is
Romney,
because it's video.
And Romney promised to build on that if elected.
That's good. I'm glad he recognizes the progress that's been made.
So while we're here, general impressions of the Republican convention. Mitt Romney give a good speech?
I turned it off. I turned it off after Lying Ryan was on there with all the misstatements in his speech.
There's been a lot of analysis of Paul Ryan's speech.
Yes.
Many lies as maybe omissions.
Oh, there are more than omissions, okay? They're calculated. I mean, he faults Obama, he faults President Obama for not enacting the cuts that he said he wouldn't vote for after being on the panel. Come on. He faults him for the Medicare cuts that he himself asked for.
Let's try Toby. Was it a successful convention?
It was very successful. You know, there are a lot of messages at the convention. I think the most important was Romney gave a great speech in which he reintroduced himself to the American people
can it be said that even Republicans set the bar low and he managed to get over it?
With the new Romney.
You know what? He reintroduced himself as a person to the American people. Right, and unfortunately he had to do it because of all the negative ads.
Do you agree with me on this?
Because of all the changes in policies since the last time he ran.
If Mitt Romney wins this election, it's going to be because voters are looking for something other than an orator.
Wow. That's a nice way to say it. I won't interrupt that.
I know somebody who fell asleep listening to it. So, yeah,
not everybody can be Clint Eastwood, stand up there and command an audience like that after all.
Just one Indiana politician got the opportunity to make a floor speech in Tampa. It came from Jackie Walorski, a former state representative from Elkhart, who is running for Congress for the second time. Walorski hopes to win the seat that is being vacated by Congressman Joe Donnelly, who is running for the Senate. She appeared on the convention floor as one of a list of Republican candidates in targeted races who were each given 3 minutes to send a message. Her message was somewhat predictable.
Working together is the best way to solve our problems. And Washington can do the same by cutting spending, reducing the red tape. We can unleash our small businesses to create jobs. And with Hoosier common sense, we can balance the budget. We can get our nation's economy working again.
Toby McClamrock, 3 minutes on a national stage. What does that get you?
Well, first of all, let me say she did a great job, right? She was confident, poised. Her message, her substantive message, I thought was positive. It supported Romney in the larger ticket.
Well, it was mostly a message about what's happened here in Indiana, and she said that needs to be a message taken to Washington.
I think it was Hoosier common sense, Hoosier values, that kind of thing, which I think, you know, is consistent with what Paul Ryan was saying, which is, look, we can do it. It's not that difficult. We can do this.
Well, Joe Donnelly chose not to run for re-election to Congress because he's running for the Senate.
Brendan Mullins, her opponent, that's right.
Right, and she's the favorite.
Oh, I don't think she's the favorite at all. And on top of that, the irony of this, when you talk about Romney reintroducing himself, the fact that Jackie Walorski actually stood up there and wasn't struck by lightning, talking about working together with both sides, she has been the most viciously partisan person in the Indiana General Assembly. And all of a sudden, oh, we can work together across the aisle. It's not even credible.
That's what it gets you, though, Ann. It gets you that chance to stand on that podium for 3 minutes with that lovely backdrop
and
that beautiful sound.
Who saw it?
There are going to be a lot of people who see
that.
It's
been replayed on Indiana TV.
And there's going to be a lot of people who see that on clips up in the South Bend region as she uses those clips in her political ads.
But they already know her. She ran last time in one of the most viciously partisan campaigns ever launched.
That's what it gets her.
It gets her a close race, and I think that would have to be considered in the second district a close race. Right. Well, if you're looking for any kind of momentum, it's probably perceived as, hey, somebody must think highly of her if they've given her a spot in front of the national convention.
If they do, they don't know her.
Now, I will agree with you that very few people probably saw that live.
Okay.
But would you also agree
that she was very partisan when she was in the state general assembly?
I will say that in however many years I've done Indiana lawmakers, 16 years or whatever, she's the most animated guest that we've ever had. She's sitting right in that chair.
So we
right
have
there.
Another wolf in sheep's clothing, Jackie Walorski.
I think that chair
promotes
animation, yes. Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we post an unscientific poll question in connection with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, did the GOP National Convention make it more likely that you will vote Republican? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C, I didn't watch. That's Ann's answer. Last week's question was, should Indiana abortion law include an exception for rape and incest? 56% said yes, 44% said no. To take part in the poll, just go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Governor Mitch Daniels met this week with John Gregg, the Democratic candidate for governor, and his running mate, Vi Simpson. Gregg and Simpson met with reporters following the meeting to explain the advice they gave Daniels regarding implementation of the president's health care reform plan. States must decide by mid-November if they will establish a health insurance exchange or rely on the federal government to establish one. There is also the option of a hybrid exchange where the state would have control, but Washington would pick up part of the cost. That's what Gregg wants.
Not participating is not an option. Not participating is not an option, because if you take no action, you're going to be left at the mercy of the federal government.
John Katzenberger, is John Gregg playing politics with health care?
I don't think so. I think, you know, Governor Daniels rightly asked both candidates from the major parties.
And also Rupert.
He asked these folks for their input about these decisions, because the next governor will have to live with the decisions that are made by the end of this year. And I think that John Gregg's response is his opinion and his view of the facts. So I don't think you can say he's playing politics with this.
Well, but they also, he and Vi Simpson also took care to criticize Mike Pence for saying that the state should do nothing and leave it to the federal government. They made sure that they took a position opposite of the one that Pence had already taken, and then half of their news conference was pointing out why they think Mike Pence is wrong.
Well, it is astounding that some politician would try to capitalize on health care reform to score political points. I don't think we've seen that at all.
Especially when they have different views on the same issue, right?
I think Mitch Daniels did the right thing, to echo what John said, by reaching out to all three candidates, because he won't be in that office to live with what, you know, reap the benefits of what he sows. So I think that's smart. If you're John Gregg, I suppose this is maybe the least ideological position. I'd say if there's an ideologue here, it's the Pence position saying, I don't want anything to do with it. Hoosiers don't want anything to do with it. It's your problem. But if you look at the proposed price tag on this, the hybrid approach, which has been endorsed now by John Gregg and by Libertarian, and by Rupert, is this hybrid approach where instead of being $50 million, if the state bore the entire financial burden, you're looking at maybe half of that, somewhere between, I think, 15 and 25
But these are all
million.
Guesses.
Those are all guesses. No one knows for sure. But you could argue that this is the fiscally prudent approach.
Right.
Yeah. So Mike Pence says we should repeal Obamacare, and he doesn't want anything to do with it in the meantime. Is he ignoring the fact that you could save money by doing that?
Not at all. I thought Mike Pence took a very principled, you know, position on this, which is, obviously, he'd like to see, a lot of people would like to see Obamacare repealed. But at the same time, in his letter to the governor, he was very careful to endorse the Healthy Indiana Plan, which
John Gregg did too. And John Gregg also pointed out that if you continue with the Healthy Indiana Plan, in order to fit the new federal law, you're going to have to expand it. It doesn't.
I mean, keep in mind, this is Governor Daniels' decision. The decision has to be made by November 16th. And so my sense is that you would think that the governor would want to retain the elements of the Healthy Indiana Plan, right? So right. My sense is you'll see that, which means the options that he chooses presumably will be a local, regional, or hybrid approach.
Will be the approach that John Gregg's advocated, instead of the, we don't like it, so we're not going to do anything with it. That's a crazy,
but that's not a principled
approach, that's okay. A political approach.
Okay, well, speaking of principled and political, John Gregg has not yet endorsed the Obama health care plan.
You don't have to, whether you endorse it or you don't endorse it, it's the law of the land, okay? It's like saying, well, he hasn't taken a position on murder either. It's the law of the land. Supreme Court said so. And the question
worried,
is whether you're going to have...
He's worried about that being an issue.
There's no question it's an issue, because the Republicans in particular have blown it up completely out of proportion. You have Murdoch ads on there saying it's government bureaucrats making decisions about your health care, and he knows it's not true. This is not government health care. It is private health care. And what John Gregg is saying is that the state ought to have input on those exchanges, and it ought to save money in the process of enacting the law that the Supreme Court says is the law of the land. And it's a very good approach.
Still with the race for governor, the Republican candidate proposed a comprehensive energy plan this week that includes nuclear power. Mike Pence says he will pursue greater use of Indiana coal when it comes to generating electricity. He also said he will fight federal government attempts to reduce the use of coal through cap and trade legislation. Pence wants more alternative methods of energy production too.
I believe the time has long come for nuclear power to be a part of our conversation as we explore strategies for meeting our future energy needs in the Hoosier State and beyond.
John Schwanis, is that a radical position?
I don't think it's necessarily radical, because I don't think it's really different from what, say, Barack Obama has said about the need to explore and use in a smart fashion nuclear energy, too. So I don't think it's radical in that sense. The other thing, the reason I don't think it's necessarily radical, is that it really doesn't matter if you endorse it at this point, because, and John Gregg made the same point, I think it's accurate. The process, it would seem to me, of going through a licensure, permitting process, figure out where to put it, how to put it, who would run it, what safeguards are in place. Whoever, you know, Mike Pence could get, win re-election.
Be retired.
His grandkids could take the office, and as a practical matter, I don't think it would ever be built. So
he's talking about the new technology. Modular nuclear plants that would be maybe a third of the size of a normal plant that maybe you could accomplish something more quickly with, and if you don't start talking about it, you'll never get there. Right?
Well, I think that's the important point, because we are talking about finite amounts of fuels to run electrical plants, and electricity is incredibly important to the state's future because of historic low cost has allowed this to be a manufacturing center. And if we want to continue to be a state with an economy that's dynamic and meaningful, we have to continue to be a manufacturing center. So all of that said, I still think the stigma of nuclear energy is such that regardless of the new technology, that's going to be a difficult sale. I think you're going to have other methods that will probably come to the fore before that.
It gets folks talking about something other than coal.
But we're the Saudi Arabia of coal. I mean, we have an almost unlimited supply of coal. What we would be talking about, and this seems to me, is improving the technology to protect the air at the same time we use up this abundant natural resource we have, and anything else. I mean, I'm for anything else you can do. I'm not so sure, for the same reasons. Our experience with nuclear power has not been all that positive. And that's a big difference between, seems to me, John Gregg and Mike Pence.
But I think what we're missing is that Mike Pence's plan for energy, I think, is not to be missed, which is, all he said was nuclear power should be part of the conversation. But what he's really saying is that the discussion about
in the white paper on his website, he also says that there should be an all-of-the-above approach.
All of the above.
So he's suggesting that it should be more than part of the conversation.
I think his point of emphasis is that we should let consumer demand drive technology, right? Not use incentives, subsidies, mandates, that kind of thing. Let consumer demand determine the direction of energy for the state.
It seems to me, because of the sensitivity that we just talked about, how difficult it would be, a bit of a crapshoot, if you will, if any investor-owned utility were to pursue this, it seems to me almost by definition that company, before making that investment, would require some sort of stopgap measure, whether state government, just as with the coal gasification plant, where effectively you have the state serving as a backstop.
To buy whatever the
and
market
then,
says.
And then if you do have that state guarantee that it will be successful and will keep you whole, there's a danger of saying, why are you meddling in private business?
Well,
why is government
doing that with the coal gasification?
Well, it would just seem to me to run counter potentially
with the idea
the Pence
that platform. Let the market decide.
All right, to the Senate race. Both of the major party candidates in the Indiana Senate race are taking a softer approach this week. Democrat Joe Donnelly has a TV spot on the air that features his wife, Jill, talking about how frugal he is. Republican Richard Murdoch hopes to get a boost from Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman.
Washington could use more Hoosier common sense these days. That's why I'm supporting Richard Murdoch. As state treasurer, Richard works side by side with Governor Medge and me to move Indiana forward.
Toby McClamrock, is that ad all about attracting Lugar Republicans?
Well, to a certain extent it is, but I think a different way to look at it is that when Governor Daniels decided to become the president of Purdue University and take himself out of the political arena, I'm not sure that helped Richard Murdoch, right? And so if you look at that ad,
she's the next best thing to Mitch Daniels, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, look at the ad. He's standing next to Mitch Daniels. He's mentioned with Mitch Daniels.
Mitt Romney shows up in the ad shaking his hand. But I tell you what, there's also an interesting circumstance this week where all four of the statewide candidates have women in their ads.
Mm-hmm. Women are going to play a big role in this election. They're not going to stay home as they did maybe in 2010. And it's because of the war on women we've talked about before. Only fuel was added to that by Aiken and the fact that Aiken in Missouri is still on the ballot and the Republican platform, which does not make an exception for rape or incest for abortion. So you've got all of that. But what's interesting about this is clearly an attempt to bring Lugar Republicans back on board, because the buy is only on Fox. It's on Fox News. So they're going right after their base, and they're going after their base because, frankly, Richard Murdoch's treatment of Richard Lugar before was shameful, and they're not coming back.
Well, I think that's a pertinent point. Becky Skillman's not all that well-known, despite her eight years in office statewide, but she's revered in Republican circles.
She is very well thought of, not only in Republican circles. I think anybody that gets the chance to see her, I think this ad is very effective in any regard, and so I think that she's a very capable and effective spokesperson for the Republican Party.
So does that help win over Lugar voters for Murdoch?
Well, it's an attempt. It doesn't hurt. But I still think that there are such it may win a few, but I think there are, at least in some sectors, still so much ill will about the primary campaign and so much loyalty. Not many politicians, it seems to me, have inspired as much loyalty over the years as Dick Lugar has, in part because half the Republican Party in the state worked for him at one time or another as an aide of some sort, or so I'm being somewhat flippant, but I'm not sure this alone will bring all those people back to the fold.
But the reality is that Richard Murdoch was a key part of the team in the last 4 years, right?
And the reality now is he's an embarrassment, because he's the one that said that both Social Security and Medicare are unconstitutional. And if you cut Medicare,
he didn't
it's
say
not
get
enough.
Rid of them. Finally, it was state GOP Chairman Eric Holcomb who announced the Indiana delegation votes in the roll call of states in Tampa. Here is his delivery.
Madam Secretary, the great state of Indiana, where Governor Mitch Daniels led us to a $2 billion surplus, tax cuts, and plural balanced budgets, and where we'll soon elect Mike Pence, our 50th governor, and Richard Murdoch, the 51st vote to repeal and replace Obamacare, in the United States Senate, where we will have two Republican women join us in Congress in our already strong congressional delegation, expand our state house legislative majorities, and keep all of our statewide elected offices. Proudly cast, all of our 46 delegate votes to America's next great president, Mitt Romney.
And Delaney, that's not very humble, but then again, that's not a time for humility, is it?
You know, it was great. And I really have to salute him because he obviously breathes through his skin. That's probably the longest sentence without a breath that I've ever heard.
He could have used a period.
Actually, John, you can
at some point in there. You went, oh, wow. Wow. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat and Delaney, Republican Toby McClamrock, John Schwanis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in a thousand different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the thousand and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.